Doing a special interview today with Rob Marshall, MBE, in a rather sort of drafty shed in Chertsey.
Hi Alan, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, Rob, you got an MBE earlier on this year. What was all that about and why did you get it?
It was a bit of a surprise, actually. I was trying to book Shannon, the mayor, onto a visit on the 14th of June, and my phone kept over-ringing, so I sort of picked it up impatiently and shouted out, "What do you want?" And it was my old commanding officer who told me I'd come off the King's Birthday Honours List with an MBE for my charity work in the army. So, the citation read that I'd raised £1 million for military charities. I'd refurbished about 17 different units for the soldiers. And I organised Falklands 40, which is the commemorations for the 40th anniversary of the Falklands War, which involved about 2,500 veterans in the South Coast. And that grew arms and legs, and the Princess Anne got involved. So that's what I got it for, and I didn't ask for anything. It just sort of came completely out of the blue.
And what was the ceremony actually like?
So the 2nd of November was amazing. One of the men's shed guys, Steve Pyle, has got a 1979 Silver Shadow Rolls Royce, and he drove us up there, and you get hosted in the green room, and then you go forward into the throne room. Shannon, my auntie, went forward to actually witness me getting the medal, and the last thing you do is you speak to an equerry, and he whispers in your ear, if she knows you, she'll shake your hand, if she doesn't know you, she'll pin the medal on, and you leave. So I thought, that's okay, she won't recognise me. So I turned to the left, bowed and said, Your Royal Highness. And she said, oh, hello, Major Marshal, and how's retirement? It was Marchwood last time, and it kind of threw me, because for a lady, the busy as she is, she remembers every detail. She's an amazing woman.
She is one of the busiest royals, I believe.
Yeah, that was her second event of the day. When I hosted her at Marchwood, this was just after her 71st birthday, it was her fourth event of the day. And she started at 9 in the morning, and she didn't leave the table until 11 at night. And she was a bit, not annoyed, but sort of hacked off about that, because the only reason she left the table was because she ran out of flying hours with her helicopter, and she had to leave. So she is a very hard-working role, yes.
And what do you get with an MBE, then?
Nothing. You get to use the post-nominals after your name. It's a massive privilege. There's only 25 per King's Birthday Honours or New Year's Honours come off from the military. So to be one of 80,000 of the 25 is a real privilege. It goes through several layers of scrutiny. I suppose it does get a bit of recognition. I'm the first person in my family, and it's just a lovely title to hold.
And what's the difference between MBE and CBE and OBE?
So the lowest of the awards is the British Empire Medal, BEM. Which Dennis Brown got, actually, from the Egham Band this year for his service to the community of Runnymede. Then MBE is normally something a little bit bigger, so can be nationally, the Falklands 40. OBE is something so it could be globally, and CBE is something to do with multi-global agencies. So CBE is a big award, and then you go into the Order of the Bath, which is a completely different kettle of fish.
Okay, tell us, we're in a sort of drafty shed in Chertsey. Tell us a bit about Men's Shed.
So the Men's Shed started in November, year before last, actually, and I retired from the army, needed something to do, saw an opportunity for Chertsey, knocked on Austin Reynolds' door and said, look, you've got a spare garage there, can I use it? And he went, yep, absolutely. And now we've got 35 members who come in here and do all sorts of things, from building a Batmobile to basic woodwork, or they just come in for a cup of tea and socialise. And it's not just men, it's a community shed. And the word, the phrase men's shed comes from Australia, where the branding was started. So we'll welcome everyone. We've got wheelchair users in here, people of different abilities, people who've never done DIY. You just walk in, have a cup of tea and socialise.
And what sort of equipment have you got here?
We've got everything you'd need to do for woodwork. We can't do any metalwork here, but we've got chop saws, drills, all sorts of planing equipment, varnishes, and we've got lots of benches now. The members have made their own benches specifically for themselves. We actually made Dan, our wheelchair user, who's got cerebral palsy, we made him a specialised bench, so he didn't have to reach down, which is a great thing for the members to do. And in last summer, I got a notification on WhatsApp they'd all gone off on a boat trip together with Dan on wet wheels down in Southampton to the Isle of Wight for a few beers, which was fantastic. And that's what I wanted to achieve.
That's great sort of community spirit as well, isn't it? Now, tell us about your life in the Falklands. I remember interviewing you live when you were down there a few years ago. Tell us a little bit of that.
So we had 2 years in the Falklands. I was lucky enough to be the second in command of the logistics down there. It's a pretty wild place, very nature-based. There's tons of nature because you're right next to the Antarctic Circle. So there's rockhoppers, Magellanic, gentoos, king penguins, petrels, all sorts of wildlife. In the sea, you've got leopard seals, orca, sei whales. It's a fantastic place to walk around. However, you've got to be a bit careful. There is no backup down there. You've got to understand that you're pioneer living. If you injure yourself, you've got to sort yourself out. There is a hospital there, but you've got to understand first aid. You've got to understand how the weather affects you. So you've got to be a bit brave, but it is a very, very exciting place to be.
And you got some sort of connection with Chertsey Panto while you were down there?
Yes. So the first year at Christmas, we saw a lot of bored people drinking, and there's not a lot else to do down there. So the second year, Shannon saw an opportunity, wrote to the Chertsey Panto, and they were kind enough to give us a script for The Sound of Music, which we laid on. There were over 140 people involved in the production of the panto. And one of the guys, because we had a few problems audio-wise, casually said, "Oh, I'll get Andrew Lloyd Webber to send you some audio stuff down," which I thought, yeah, fine, that's not going to happen. A week later, at Bryce Norton, a tonne and a half of audio equipment turned up from Andrew Lloyd Webber. And then a two-man camel outfit turned up, which is our legacy down there. And that's been used in every panto, regardless, since we left.
That's good. And you got that connection with Chertsey that's continues then?
Yeah, 8,000 miles away, and you've still got friends back in Chertsey. Super generous people. We actually refurbished the community cafe down there, which is an alcohol-free unit. And with help from Chertsey, the Chertsey artists, actually, we redecorated it and put new artwork on the walls. And believe it or not, down there, 8,000 miles away, the soldiers and sailors and airmen do not want to see pictures of penguins. They want to see regular stuff. So the Chertsey artists did lots of regular pictures from home, and that was wonderful.
Oh, that's a fantastic memory. Thank you very much, and thank you very much. And Rob Marshall, MBE.